Okay, we start at the top of Yud Bet Amud Aleph. The Gemara has a question. The Gemara was discussing that in certain instances, the Shemen HaMishkar was used to confer some chut on who was the proper king. When there was some sort of controversy surrounding the choosing of the king, they would use the Shemen HaMishkar as an indication of who was chosen. So last discussion revolved around Yoachaz and Yoyakim, the fact that Yoachaz was the younger brother and still ruled first. The Gemara has a simple question. Umi haba Shemen HaMishkar? Was there really any Shemen HaMishkar around at that time? Because we know, Vatanya, Mishin Nignaz Aron, Nignaz Shemen HaMishkar, Bitzinsen and Aman, Umaklo Shel Aron, Eda Uprachah, Bargaz, Sheshachu Plishtim Daron Yisrael. That at the same time that the Aron was put into Gniza, so too all these other items that were alongside the Aron or inside the Aron, we're all put into Geniza with it. One of those was Shemen HaMishkar. Shnemar, Bet Klei HaZahav, Asher HaShevotem, Lo, La'asham, Tasimu Ba'agaz Mitzido, V'shlachtem Oto Balach. So this part is discussing the Daron, the gift that was given from the Plishtim. After the Plishtim had captured the Aron in the destruction of Shiloh, they took it back towards Plishtim. It wreaks havoc. And they said they don't want the Aron anymore, they're going to send it back to the Jews. And their Kohanim advised them to put the Daron, a gift, alongside of the Aron. And they send it back to Beit Shemesh. That gift also remains with the Aron. So this is what the Gemara is quoting here from Shmuel Aleph. In the case, Et Klei Zahav Asher Shevotem Lo Asham Tasimu Ba'agaz Mitzido V'shlachtem Oto Balach. So Miganzo, who put it into Geniza? It says Yoshiyahu HaMelech Yehuda Ganzo. Yoshiyahu, the father of Yoachaz and Yoyakim, was the one who put it into Geniza. So how could the Shemen HaMishkar be around to anoint Yoachaz if his father already put it into Geniza? Shra'u Ketuv BaTorah, I saw written in the Torah, Yolech Hashem Otcha Bet Malchecha, you and your king will be taken away to a foreign land. So in order to prevent the Aron and all these precious items being taken, Tziva v'ganzum, he put them into Geniza. Shunamar says in Divrei Yamim v'yomer l'Leviim hamivinim l'chol Yisrael hakadoshim l'Hashem, by those that teach all of Klal Yisrael that are kadosh, tnu et Aron HaKodesh b'vayit asher bana Shlomo ben David melech Yisrael, ein lechem masa b'katef ata yivdu et Hashem Elokeichem v'et amo Yisrael. So two things in the pasuk hint to this is, one, place the Aron into the house that was built by Shlomo in the Mikdash. Well, where was the Aron until this point in time? The Aron was in the Mikdash. So what does it mean, place it into the house? So that was the idea. They placed it in the house, into the Geniza. They buried it underneath. They put it down into Geniza below. And number two is, don't you, the Levim, in the Chamachse Baketif anymore. You're not going to be carrying around the Aron. You're not going to have any interaction with the Aron anymore. If do it to Hashem, El Kechem et Amo Yisrael, that the Aron is no longer going to be in service, you just do your jobs that don't involve the Aron. So there, the Aron was put into Geniza. It is subject to a Machloket Tanaim, whether it was taken to Bavel, which there seems to be a Pasuk in Machim that they were taken to Bavel. Here, the Pasuk of Chazal Darshan that was put into Geniza. So there is a Machloket about what happened. Here, the Gemara is quoting the opinion that it was put into Geniza. Bamar Rabbi Lazar. Atya. So now we're going to have two gzeirah shavot. That one is sham, dechtiv ba'aron. By the aron are written, nodati l'cho sham, v'dibarti mimcha mi'ala kaporet. And the tzinsenet aman, also by the tzinsenet says, v'tein shama melo ha'omer min man. So the aron, also the v'nodati shama l'bnei Yisrael, is also written by the aron. So the word shama, 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 teaches you that the Tzenet Aman was put into Geniza the same time that the Aron was put into Man. So that's the first Gezeirah Shavah. Then, from the Tzenet Aman, the Tzenet Aman says on it, V'anach otol l'fnei Hashem l'mishmeret l'doroteichem. So those will be the next two Gezeirah Shavah, the Mishmeret and l'doroteichem, which is that Mishmeret is written by the Man. It's also written by the Maklo Shel Aron. It says, l'mishmeret la'ot l'bnei Meri. The staff of Aaron will stand for a mishmeret, a reminder for all those that are rebellious, because it's done right after Adat Korach. So that mishmeret is a gzeirah shavah to the mishmeret of the tzinsenet aman. Just like the tzinsenet aman was with the Aaron, so too was the makel of Aaron. And dorot dorot will be the Gzeir Shava, which is by Tzen Taman, it says, the Mishmer L'Dorotechem, and by the Shemen Mishka, it says, Shemen Mishkat Kodesh, Yezeli L'Dorotechem. So by Dorotechem, Dorotechem, that Gzeir Shava said, the Shemen Mishka was also alongside the Tzen Taman. Since all of these items were together with the Aron, when the Aron was put into Geniza, so too these items were put into Geniza at the same time. So Amar Rav Papa, this yesterday, Rav Papa answered the question when it came to Yehu. How would they give Dud Mashicha with Yehu? He was one of the Malchei Yisrael, and you're not allowed to use the Shemen HaMishcha for the Malchei Yisrael. That is a misappropriation of the Shemen HaMishcha. And just because there was controversy, or the fact that they were moving the dynasty from Achab's family to Yehu in Malchei Yisrael, what gave us the right to use the Shemen HaMishcha? The Gemara said, Amar Rav Papa, and that's what they said over here, that they used this pure, I don't know, persimmon or farsima juice that was used alongside of it, balsam oil, thank you, that was used for the Shemen HaMishcha, instead of the Shemen HaMishcha. And the Gemara said, just like Rav Papa said somewhere else, this is the other place, this is the place where Rav Papa originally said it, is by Yoachaz, that they also used the farsima dachya, the balsam oil, just like they did use it by the time of Yehu. So Tanu Banan. Ketzad moshchim et hamilachim kemin nezer. So when you do mishicha on the kings, you use it, you put the oil on like a crown. Put it around their head, and you move it around like a crown around their head. Veta kohanim kemin ki. And the kohanim, they do it like a ki. My kemin ki. What does that mean, kemin ki? The kai. Amar Rav Menashe bar Gada kemin kaf yivani. It's like a kaf yivani, which Rashi over here has a picture in Rashi of a chet, which is not usually the kaf yivani. The kaf yivani is usually an X, which is brought in the Rambam and all, which is Kai in the Greek letters. So the X is the, well, I think they're talking about over here, the main key. Tanya, chado, b'tchila mutzkim shemen al-rosho, v'achak nachnin lo shemen ben riseinav. One opinion says that you first pour oil onto his head, yotzeik, you pour the oil on. The other, afterwards, you take the oil and place it between his eyes, between his eyebrows, and then you pull. From there, you draw the ki, or the nezer, on the head. That's the oil that's used to make the shape that they're trying to use for the Meshicha. The other Tana suggests, Tanya Achriti, B'tchila Notin Moshem Ben Riseinav, they first drew either the ki or the nezer, they pour the oil between his eyes and do that. And then afterwards they pour the oil onto his head. It's machlokas, which goes first, the yitzicha or the mishicha. So that's a tanaihi. Ika de amre mishicha difa. There's one Tan who believes that mishicha is the primary, and therefore you do that first. Ika de amre yitzicha difa. The pouring of the oil on the head is the primary. What's the source? The one who says that Yitzika, the pouring of the oil, is primary. Dichtiv, because it says by Aron uvana, by the Shibet Yemei Miluim, vayitzok mishem neshmcha al rosh Aharon, vayimshach oto lekadsho. First they did the Yitzika on his rosh, then they did the Meshicha. So it shows you that Yitzika comes before Meshicha. Amandar Meshicha difa. The one who says Meshicha difa, my time, huh? Kasover shekein atam mutzeitz al klisha reit. By the klisha reit, there is no Yitzika whatsoever. It just says vayimshach that Moshe did the Meshicha. So you see, that must be the Meshicha is the primary, because Yitzika only appears by the human beings. And so what do you do? He has to deal with the fact that it does say Vayitzika first. Vakte Vayitzok Uvasov Vayimshach by Aaron. It says first Yitzika and then Mishicha. What does he do about that? Achigamar Mai Tam Vayitzok Vishum the Vayimshach. That why they only did the Yitzok to enable the Mishicha. It's not that there was a Yitzika separately, but Yitzika was there just to allow or enable the Mishicha. But the key element is the Mishicha and not the Yitzika. So you have a Machlokas Tanaim, but he goes into the order, and he also has the human beings, which it says by human beings, by Aaron of Hanav, by Yitzok, by Yimshoch, true, by Yimshach, that by the Kelim, it only says by Yimshach, that only uses the Meshicha, but that's Kelim. Here we're talking about the Melachim and the Kohanim Gedolim. So he'll say, I have a reference to what we do by human beings, what we do by Kohanim Gedolim, is that we do Yitzika and then Meshicha. Tanu Banan. So I was quoting the Perek in Tehillim, Perek Kuf Lamed Gimel, which is three psukim long, which is here they're quoting Pasuk Bet. Kashemen Atov, Ala Rosh, Yureid Al Zakan, Zakan Aharon. So it's like the Shemra Tov on his head, Yared al Zakan falls down onto his beard, Zakan Aron, the beard of Aron. Kemir Shnei Tipei Margliot Hayu Tfuyot Aron B'Zikano. There was on the beard of Aron, there were two drops of the Shemra Mishka that used to hang on there. Amar Papa Tanaf Shumisaper, when he spoke to others, that when he spoke to people, they would leave. They were hanging off. They were like dripping off. And when he went to speak, they were going to move around. They didn't want to fall off, so they jumped up into the middle of the beard so they wouldn't fall off. So Moshe felt, maybe I put too much Shemra Mishka on, and that's why the Shemra Mishka fell down onto his beard. And I somehow, Chas v'Shalom, misappropriated the Shemra Mishka. Yatzah bat kol v'amra, k'shemra tov. So that's the, bat kol comes out and says this parak in Tehillim, k'shemra tov, and then quotes, this is Pasuk Gimel, k'tal chermon. It's like the dew of the chermon, the matal chermon in bomilav, Shemra Mishka, shebizkan aron, that which is on the beard of Aron, in bomishum milah. There is no milah. So the comparison of the Shemen of Mishkat to Tal Chermon shows you that there was no problem with the Shemen that was found in Pasuk Bet, which was Al Hazakan, Zakan Aron. V'adayin haya Aron doeg. Okay, Moshe was okay now, but Aron was worried. Amar Shemen Moshe lo ma'al, avali ma'alti. Okay, maybe Moshe put on the right amount, but now that I still have it on my beard, maybe I had misappropriated the Shemen of Mishkat. Sva bako v'amra lo. So here they quoted the first Pasuk in the Perek, which is Hine Matov Umanaim Shevet Achim Gam Yachad Ma Moshe Lomal Afatal Lomal Shevet Achim Gam Yachad, referring to Moshe and Aaron. So therefore, both you and Moshe are equal in the fact that you were not Moel. You did not misappropriate the Shemra Mishcha. Tan Rabbanan In Moshchim Et Melachim El Amayan Kedei Shetimshoch Malchutam. You only anoint the kings on a spring to be a siman that their malchut, their reign, should flow, should last forever, should be elongated. Shinemar, Vayomer HaMelech. This is after Adonijah went out and made himself into the king. Batsheva and Natan HaNavid come to David HaMelech and say, what's happening? David HaMelech calls in Tzadok HaKohen, tells Natan, Tzadok, and the others to bring them in and says, go and get the zakenim. Get all my avadim, all the zkenim, and then take Shlomo HaMelech down to the Gichon, down to the spring of the Gichon, right below Ir David. Today, where they have done the excavations in Ir David, the Gichon is right below. Before Chizkio covered it up in the tunnels, the Chizkio tunnels, the Gichon was there at the bottom. So they went down to the Gichon in order to anoint Shlomo HaMelech. So why they do it on the Gichon? For this siman, that Timshoch Malchuto, that his Malchut should be long lasting. Amar Rabbi Ami, I'm on the Bay Leda, Imesik Shatya, Ilo, person who wants to know if he's going to make it through the next year or not. This year, good year. Nitle Sharga, Basar Yomei, Deben Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim. She'll light a candle between Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Sirja Mechuba, the Beit Alonah Shivzika, in a house that there's no wind, no air, is she'll light. Imashik Neorei, if the fire or the candle lasts, Neda the Mesik Shatya, you'll know that it lasts the year out. So now obviously it's not going to last. You can't have it. It's not going to last the 10 days. They fill it up with a lot of oil. They put the candle in. If it blows out before the oil is consumed, that's the bad sign. If the oil is totally consumed, and that's why the flame went out, then that's a good sign that he will last his year out. That's the siman. Uman debari lemevad beiskar beitzik. Probably wants to go do some business. Ubai lemeida imitzlach v'loy matzlach. Maybe it'll be successful or not successful. Lirbe Tarnagola, he should bring up a chicken, a rooster, for this specific purpose. Ishamin v'shaptar, matzlach. If it turns out to be a nice, fat, and good-looking chicken, rooster, matzlach, it'll go well. And obviously the opposite would be, it won't go well. I'm on the boy, the meipak l'orcho, someone wants to go on the way. By the meida, ichazer abat to the beit alo, he's coming home or not. He's going out of the derech, it's dangerous. He wants to know if he's going to return home. Nika bebeita de chavro. You should go to a house. Now here it's not chavro of a friend, but rather chavro, which is the aruch, has the havra with a hay, which is choshech, a dark house. So ichazi beba de ba. If he sees a shadow of a shadow, then Leidad Hadar, he'll know that he'll come back after the Beitar, return home. And then the Gemara says, Lav Miltahi, that this isn't a good idea. Now, in terms of Lav Miltahi, the Rashi just comments over here, the Zimna the Afal Gav the Lit Lei Boa the Boa, even sometimes we don't have a shadow to a shadow, Hadarate, you still come home. So Rashi says this late, the late Bamilto, he says only on the last of the ones, not on all three of them. Obviously, you could see someone else saying it about all three of them, and the explanation would apply to all three of them, not just the last of them. Which Rashi says is the Dilma, Taushadate, somewhere it says maybe he will become weakened by the Siman, showing him that he's not going to make it. Umitra Mausli, and that will cause his muscle to deteriorate. Meaning that you can impact on your muscle too. And maybe the Siman is wrong sometimes. It has an error factor. And then the error factor is going to cause you to become despondent and make it that you won't return home. Not because you weren't supposed to, but because your muscle, you turned your muscle sour. That's what Rashi says. The Dilma lo chazi bavoa dpa, chausha date mitra mazle. Lo adate mishom de mitra mazle. De lo hava obir halchi. If he never did the Siman, lo hava mitra mazle. We never had this bad feeling about him. And then he would have come home. Better not to do it. Again, Rashi only says this about the last. I think you can apply the same logic to the other two about making your way through the year or succeeding in the business venture. That a person who, if now finds themselves in a position where they know it's going to fail, they're not going to make it through the year, they have that feeling or that sense changes who they are, how they act. And because of that, it might affect their mazel. And they won't make it back or the business will not succeed. So now the Gemara says, Amar Abaye. Abaye says, Hashad Amar Simona Miltihi. Now that the Gemara concluded that Simona means something. Number one, we said by the kings that your Moshe put them on the, your Moshech, them on the Mayan. Number two, we had all these tests for whether you're going to make it through your next year, it's success in business, and whether you're going to return home. And we see that Simonim have meaning. Therefore, Lolam Ye Adam Ragil and Mechse Bereshata. Person should, on Rosh Hashanah, see. Over here, the Girsa here in the Gemara in Horayot is the Mechseh to see. The Gemara, there's a parallel Gemara in Kritut, which says the Mechal. That means it says to eat. So, you have some here, based on this Girsa, you don't have to see these items. Based on the Gemara in Kritut, you would actually have to consume these items, which is our Minhag. Reshat Kra, Rubia, Karti, Silka, Vitamre. All of these types of vegetables, one should either see or consume on Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara does not explain why. These items, Rashi, I mean, explaining them, says, "Tahana gadle the agel tfei mishar yerkot." The agel is from Kaddish. Bagala uzman kaviv. Agala means quickly, speedily. So Rashi says over here, "Tahana gadle the agel." These grow very quickly. Tfei mishar yerkot. So therefore, it'll be a siman tov that things will happen quickly or things will be positive. That's the way Rashi writes them about Lagel. I don't know, also the other possibility of Lagel is that these will be available. You're at Rosh Hashanah time, when they've only, right after they've seeded, planted. That's the Zman HaZriah. So there are vegetables that are available very quickly. You know that by the Zman HaShemitah, already by the time, right after Rosh Hashanah, already things are being, the vegetables are being ready to be picked. Already have Kedushat Shvi'it, almost a day or two. Cucumbers, a couple other vegetables have, their Zman HaShvi'it starts immediately, almost after Rosh Hashanah. So maybe these are the vegetables that are available. That's another possibility. What we do with them is that we play, make a play on each one of these words. Right? Again, Kra, which is Kra, Ruaz, Kra, Ruag Zara, Dineinu, Rubia, is from the word Ribui, Chirbez, Chuyutenu, Karti, Chikaret, Sonenu, Silka, Shistalik, Sonenu, I think, and then Tamre is Shitamu, Sonenu. So we have all these simanim that we make a play on the words here. Again, Rashi seems to indicate it has to do with that them being quickly, whether that's a siman tov or that made them available, it's not clear to me from Rashi.
It's supposed to make us mindful of the things that we need to be responsible for, and the things and the things that we need to work on. That's why it makes sense, you know, just saying, seeing it is enough. Because you see these things and you make the associations that you're supposed to make.
Very nice idea that you're all sharing, but the fact that the Mechseh is a siman to remind us of what's important, to focus us what's important, Rosh Hashanah. And then the Mechal, like you said, some people need a little more help to internalize the messages that are being given by the simanim. Samalu Rav Mishar Shia Debrei, she says, Ki bi'itu me'al That when you are going to go before your Rebbe to learn, make sure that you review the material ahead of time. And then go into your Rebbe. So, if you're going to learn, make sure that you review or chazer over the material before you get there, because that will help you. When he's speaking, you'll be able to ask questions, you'll be able to clarify what you have learned. You'll be sharp and ready. You'll be in front of the class, asking questions and understanding your Rebbe better. When you sit there, make sure you can see his face over here, specifically his mouth. Make sure you can see his lips. You should be able to see your Rebbe. It's not enough just to hear what the Rebbe is saying. You need to see the Rebbe when he's speaking. That when you are going to learn and review over your Girsot, you should do it by the flowing river. You should sit there on the flowing water so that your Shmatata, your Memrot that you are learning should be extended. I'm not sure whether this is from the Torah Shebaal Peh where they were learning over and over their Girsot so they should be able to remember them for a long time. So therefore that's why they did it by the waters. Or that these were Memrot or their, what they said should last for a long time, should have a halachic impact. So that's the other possibility about they should learn by the flowing waters. V'tivu al kilkule de matamachsia, better to live on a garbage heap in matamachsia, v'lotivu al padne de pumpadita, rather than living in the palaces of pumpadita. Explanation for that is, Rashi brings down, de matamachsia, ha'vitamari chachamim ru'uyim lahora, v'tarbut yafeha yalehem. They had a nice culture. I'm assuming he means they had a good demeanor. Their midot were midot tovot. So not only were they great tamid chachamim, their ben adam lechaveru was also proper. Whereas by pumpadita, lovi tarbut malya kolkach wasn't such a great culture. Again, I think that might be referring to the social interactions or the social fabric of the society there wasn't so good. So better to live in a place where their Tamidei Chachamim and their Midot Tovot, even in a garbage heap, rather than living in a palace, in a place where their culture, their social behavior is somewhat questionable. And the other piece of advice is, Tav Galdano Sarya, the Matamachsia, the Mecha Mikutacha Derami Kipe. Better to eat from a rotten fish in Matamachsia, Mikutcha Ramikipe from the Kuteach, Kuteach HaBavli, in the Ramikipe, again, sounds to be in the high places or the of the wealthy. And what? Why is that? Rashi brings down two explanations. So Rashi brings down the first explanation, Afilimi Kuteach, Shumishubach V'chazak. It's wonderful food and strong. Shumishaber to Evek Shofchim Emenu. So powerful that it cracks stones when it's poured on it. Which don't eat that type of food. Clogs up the heart. Now kipei slayim, which is over here, so that's one. So it's not, even though the food seems to be very strong, powerful food, nevertheless, the Gemara Pesachim tells us that there are detrimental factors that are caused by kuteach habavli. So here he's just telling you from health reasons. For health reasons, don't eat kuteach habavli, it's just not good for you. Better to be eating rotten fish than to be eating rotten cheese and whey, moldy bread. It's better to have that rotten fish than those items in the kuteach habavli. The second shot, which Rashi brings, is eat the mefarshei, mutav tachol gildan masarya she'in demeyam yakarim. Better eat rotten fish, which are cheap, mikuteach shokhlim oto ashirim visarim. They are eaten by the rich and the wealthy. Adarim v'remi kipeh, they live on the top, you know, the higher parts of the city. Komer migdalim v'chomot gedolot l'fish demeyam yakarim. Don't spend all your money, waste your money acquiring and eating these luxurious delicacies. Like kuteach habavli, better just eat the rotten fish of matamachsil and be happy with what you have. Which is true in their day, but the people, the wealthier people lived at the high points of the city. It's not necessarily always true today, sometimes it is true. But if you go to places like Gamla, that the city was designed, that the wealthiest of the people were at the center, the top of the city, and the poor people, the rest of the lay people were further down the mountain. So the most secure were the people, the wealthiest people were at the top, both from an air standpoint. The Gemara talks about in other places that the poor person has it bad both ways. He has to take his water up to his fields, and then his house is at the bottom of the city. So the water from the house, other houses pours off, the shofrim, all the water pours down onto his house. His field is at the top of the hill, so all the dirt from his fields flow down to the bottom. So his field's at the top of the hill, and his house is at the bottom of the hill. So we see that type of idea, that the wealthy lived at the Ramei Kipe, at the tops of the mountains. Right, so now it says, Ramah Karni Belukai, Ramah Karni Velo Ramah Pache. So over there, it's talking about Tfilat Chana. So it says there, Ramah Karni, the Karen Belukai, Ramah Karni Velo Ramah Pache. Use a Karen to anoint the king, not a Pach. The David and Shlomo Shinim Shekubi Karen, they were anointed with some sort of horn, I don't know, Siman of Cornucopia, Nimshcha Malchutan, their kingdoms, their rule lasted long for a long time. Sha'ol v'yehu, shenim shechu b'pach. They were anointed with some sort of pitcher or bucket. Lo nimshcha machutam, their machut did not last or did not have a long duration to it. So Meshuach v'shem and Amishcha. So over there, back to the Mishnah now, that we said that the one who is included in the Parsha Par, Kohen Mashiach, is only one who was anointed with the Shem and Amishcha. So Tarabanan, Mashiach, Yechom Melech, says Mashiach, well, not only is the Kohen Gadol anointed, so is the king anointed. So maybe Par, Kohen HaMashiach, Im Kohen HaMashiach Yechta, Hashmat Ha'am, maybe that refers to not just the Kohen Gadol, refers to the king. Tamal Omar Kohen, says Kohen HaMashiach. So E Kohen Yechom Merubah B'Begadim, I would think even the one who doesn't have the anointing, but even one who is not Kohen Gadol because he wore the 8 garments, Tamal Omar Mashiach. So if Mashiach Yechom Meshuach Melchama, if it just written Mashiach, I thought he would include also the Meshuach Melchama. There is no one above him. The Meshuach Melchama still has the Kohen HaGadol who is above him. So we're talking about the Kohen HaGadol, which is Meshuach Meshem HaMishcha. My Mashma, why is that true? Kedam Rava, HaYerech HaMiyumenet Shebe Yerech. Right. The Gemara is just about to say, which is HaYerech. What does it mean, HaYerech? It means HaMiyumenet Shebe Yerech. The one that is dexterous, which the Gemara always assumes is Yamin, the right. Right comes from Miyuman, comes from dexterous. Hachanami, HaMashiach, the Ha, it's the Hei Yidiyah, which David just pointed out. HaMiyuman, Shemishuchim, the most prominent of those that is anointed. HaMashiach, which is the Kohen HaGadol. Amar Mar, Mashiach Yechol Melech. Melech, Par Hu Demaiti? What do you mean? A Melech brings a par? Seir Hu Demaiti. The Melech has his own parsha. The parsha of Nasi is referring to a Melech. So why would you need a separate parsha of par when you have the parsha of Mashiach?
Well, the opposite.
So,
why would you?
How
even think that it would be a Melech?
Exactly. Itzrich Sakadat Amina Shigat Maaseh Yavi Seir. That when it comes to a plain Shigat Maaseh, that's when he brings a Seir. Like a Yachid would bring a Seir on Kisbah, he bring a Seir. Al Helam Dabar. Maybe the king has a parsha of Helam Dabar and Shigat Maaseh as well, which there he would bring the par, Kamash Malam, that it's only Kohen HaMashiach and not the Nasi, who is just the Mashiach, the king who is just the Mashiach, not a Kohen. So we need to exclude him from the parsha of par, which would maybe in the category of Helam Dabar b'Shigat Maaseh. And ben Mishuach b'shem and Mishchal and Meruba b'gadim matnitin delog Rabbi Meir. Our mission is not like Rabbi Meir. Di Rabbi Meir Hatanya, we have a breita. Meruba b'gadim mevi par habal kol mitzvot. Di Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that the power of the Kohen Mashiach is brought not only by the Mishuach b'shem and Mishchal, but even by the Meruba b'gadim. Velo hodu lo chachamin. The chachamin disagreed with Rabbi Meir. My time with the Rabbi Meir. It's the reason my Rabbi Meir. Tanya. Mashiach ain li ela Mashiach b'shem and Mishcha. Meruba b'gadim minayin. Mashiach tells me that it comes, the Mashiach b'shem and Mishcha, Kohen HaGadol, brings it. How I know about the Meruba b'gadim? Tamad lomar HaKohen HaMashiach. That HaKohen adds in the additional individual who is the Meruba b'gadim. So you have HaKohen HaMashiach. So each one of them brings. HaKohen is the Meruba b'gadim. HaMashiach is the Shem and HaMishcha. Mayu kimtei kirabanan. Well, you're establishing that our Mishnah is really authored by the Rabbanan, because Rabbi Meir believes that the par Kohen Mashiach is brought by the Meruba B'Gadim as well, and our Mishnah says that it's only brought by the Kohen B'Shem who is Meshuach B'Shem HaMishcha. Well, you can say, what are you going to do with the latter half of the Mishnah? Ein bein Kohen B'Shemesh the Kohen She'avar ela par Yom HaKippurim v'Asir Teifa. So when it comes to our Mishnah, it says there's no difference between the Kohen HaMishamesh, the active Kohen, the Kohen Shavar, and the Kohen now who is not active. Ela par Yom HaKippurim, as it with the par on Yom HaKippurim, which is brought only by the active Kohen, Basir Taifa was the Minchat Chavitin, it's brought by the Kohen, Chatzi Baboker, Chatzi Ben Arbaim, every day by the Kohen HaGadol. Those two make it distinct or are unique to the Kohen who is in active duty, not to the Kohen Shavar that already has been taken out of service, either because the original, the Kohen HaRishon, came back to service. He was taken out because of some mumover, or because of a psul that he had of Tumah. And therefore, when he comes back to being either Tahor, his mum is gone. There, we say, go ahead, you come back to service. And the one who replaced him becomes a Kohen HaGadol She'avar. The one who's Avar, he doesn't bring the Parayom HaKippurim and the Sirat Taifa. So Mar says, Atan Rabbi Meir, this goes according to Rabbi Meir, the Tanya of Abraita. Irobo psul b'kohen gadol. There's some sort of psul that happened to the Kohen Gadol. Vavar u'minu kohen acher daftav. He was removed from service, and they brought another Kohen to fill him in. HaRishon chuzer l'avodoto. Eventually, the Rishon returns to service when everything's cleaned up or corrected. V'sheni kol mitzvot kuna alav de Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir believes that he becomes like, he's like a Kohen Gadol. He remains like a Kohen Gadol, the one who was filling in. Rabbi Yossi Omer Rishon chuzer l'avodoto. The original one returns to service. He's no good to be a Kohen Gadol. He's in this state of Talui, Ben Ashmashol. We'll explain why. I'll just read it now and then we'll come back. I'm Rabbi Yossi Masav Yosef Ben Ilim, Mitzipari Shir Bobsul, the Kohen Gadol. And therefore they replaced him. And when they brought back into service, the other Kohen Gadol was not a Kohen Gadol, not a Kohen. Why? Because Kohen Gadol Meshum Eva, he can't be the Kohen Gadol because the jealousy or the problem, the fighting with the other Kohen Gadol, there should only be one Kohen Gadol. There can't be two Kohenim Gadolim. So because of that, we don't allow him to be a Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Ejot Meshum Damalim Mikolish Vein Moridim. We can't bring him back. He was now the Kohen Gadol. I can bring him back to be a Kohen Ejot. So therefore he lives in this twilight zone where it's between a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Ejot. And he can't do either. He becomes a out of service because he can't fit into either category. So now we see from this that Rabbi Meir, the author of the opinion, that the Kohen who was filling in during the time that the Kohen HaGadol was out of service, he still remains a full-fledged Kohen HaGadol. That's like our Mishnah, because Rabbi Yossi says that the second one's out of service, he's gone. Once the first one comes back into service, the second one's out. So Gemara says, Reisha Rabbanon, to save for Rabbi Meir. So therefore, the ratio of the Mishnah is according to Rabbanon and Sefer Rabbi Meir. I'm Rav Gistin. Ratio Rabbanon and Sefer Rabbi Meir. In Ochanami, it's a Mishnah that has drawing from different opinions. Rabbi Yosef Amar Rabbi Hi Binasiv La Aliba De Tanai. Yosef suggests that it is, if the author by Rabbi, the Mishnah is a single author, and Rabbi chose the opinions that he was in tune with. He made Stam Mishnah and the Reisha, he made like the Chachamim, because Allah was like them, and the Stam Mishnah and the Sefer, he thought Rabbi Meir was right, and he put Rabbi Meir as the Stam Mishnah. So that's Rabbi. And the last solution is Rabbi Amar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi says that it's Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Meir Bechado, Polig Le Bechado. He agrees with him with one issue, and he disagrees on the other issue. What's that? The Tanya of a Brighter. Dvarim Sheben Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Ejot, Eluhim. What's the difference between a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Ejot? Par Abal Kol Mitzvot, the par of the Kohen Mashiach, brought by the Kohen Gadol, not by a Kohen Ejot. Par Yom HaKippurim V'Asirat Ha'Eifa, the par that is brought by the Kohen Gadol on behalf of himself, his house, and all the Kohenim, and the Asirat Ha'Eifa, the Minchat Chavitim, that's only done by the Kohen Gadol, not by Kohen Ejot. V'lo Poreya V'lo Poreim, when it comes to Avelut, he does not allow his hair to grow out, and he does not rend his garments. Aval Huporeim Milamata V'Diyot Milamala. He rips his clothing from down below, whereas the Ejot, the Kohen Ejot, does it from above. Vein mitamei lekrovim, he is the status of a Kohen Gadol, does not become tamei for any of his relatives. Umuzar ala betula, he has to marry a betula, isha betula yikach. Basur ba'almana, he's not allowed to take an almana, a widow, for his wife. Magzir to rotzeach, he passes away, a rotzeach is freed from the arei miklat. That's a rotzeach bishogeg, that's in the arei miklat, when he dies. Makuiv onein, he, when he is an onein, he still does avoda in the Mikdash. Venochel, venocholek. He still does avoda in the Mikdash. His avoda is not pasur, actually he has to do the avoda. His avoda is kshera, but he doesn't eat. He doesn't participate in the carbon, he doesn't eat from them, doesn't divide them. Makuiv chelek barosh, menotel chelek barosh. He has the right, when it comes to any avoda in the Mikdash, to go in and say, I want to do it, and he gets the right to do it first. Anytime they're dividing up any of the kodshim, see the kohanim, he's able to take the first or best piece that's there. Umishamesh b'shmona kelim, and he has the shmona b'gadim of the big day kohen gadol. Chol avodat yom kippur nekshera elabo. And when it comes to the avodah of Yom Kippur, he's the only one who can do it. Upatur al tumat mikdash ukdashav, and it's patur for tumat mikdash ukdashav, which we learned in the Gemara in Shavuot. Turns out it's actually the only the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Shimon believes the Kohen Gadol is exempt from tumat mikdash ukdashav. Bukula noagim b'merube begadim chutz, all them apply to merube begadim chutz miparam beviya kol mitzvot. Except for Parabam Kol Mitzvot, which is the ratio of our Mishnah. But here we have Rabbi Shimon, because we know that Rabbi Shimon is the one opinion who says that he's Patur al Tumat Mikdash Ukdashav. So Rabbi Shimon, the Gemara is going to do all of this in a second, I'm just explaining it now. So that's Rabbi Shimon's the author here. On the other hand, Mekulan Noagim B'Mashiach Shavar Chutz Mipar Yom Kippurim Asiriya Taifa. And all of them apply to a coin Mashiach that was passed over, meaning that he's brought back into service, except for Par Yom Kippurim Asir Taifa, which is exactly like our Mishnah. So he holds like Rabbi Meir in one instance, and he doesn't hold like Rabbi Meir in the other instance. None of them apply to Shuach HaMelech, chutz mihei dvarim marim b'parsha, except for five things that are written in the parsha, lo poreya v'lo poreim. When it comes to the Kohen Mashuach, he does not let his hair grow out, he does not rend his garments. When he's an avel, ve'en metameh l'krovim, he does not become tameh for krovim, umuzhar la'btula, he has to marry b'tula, v'asur ba'almana. So those items, as well as makzir at the rotzeach, that's divrei Rabbi Yehuda. If achramim omrim, eino makzir. If we say that he doesn't makzir, so those, of those items, that's what applies to the mashuach milchama. How do you know this bright face, Rabbi Shimoni? Who's the author of that position of that he's patur al tumat shav? Rabbi Shimoni. So therefore, now we can say, and this is what the suggestion says, Rabbi Shimoni. The savaleik Rabbi Meir bechado, or poligalei bechado. He agrees with Rabbi Meir's position in one instance, and he disagrees with the other instance. And the instance that the Kohen Gadol filled in service, that he is still classified as a Kohen Gadol, that he agrees to Rabbi Meir on that position. But when it comes to the difference between the Kohen HaMashuach to the Kohen Meruv Begadim, there he says that there's a difference of Parmei V'Akol HaMitzvot. That's against Rabbi Meir. But Rabbi Shimon can be the one who authored our Mishnah, because our Mishnah has exactly that. Our Mishnah says that the Kohen Meruv Begadim does not bring the Kohen Par Kohen HaMashiach, but it does say that a Kohen Shavar, Kohen Gadol Shavar, is a full-fledged Kohen Gadol, and that's what Rabbi Shimon says. How do we know that these five things apply to the Kohen HaMashuach? The oil point on him, that's Meshuach Melchama. His includes a Merubeh Begadim. On all of these, Kohenim Gedolim, Kohen Gadol that had Meshicha, Kohen Gadol that was brought into service Merubeh Begadim, Kohen Gadol Meshuach Melchama, all of these Kohenim are subject to the following rules, which are in the Pasuk. Alkulan Omer, Rosho Lo Yifra, can't grow his hair out. Gadav Lo Yifrom, can't rend his garments. Valkol Nafsho Meit Lo Yavo, can't become Tameh. Yochei Kulan Makrivin Onanim, you would think all of them would be kasher in service when they're Onanim. Tamal Omer, Ki Nezer Shemin Mishchat Alukav Alav. Alav Lo Al Chaveiro, on him, but not on his other friends, meaning that his Kohanim Gedolim. After the pasuk already removed him, what about betulah that comes afterwards? So now you're saying that he can't do avod in the mikdash, his avod is not kasher. Maybe that means that whatever remains in the parsha of the Kohen Gadol does not apply to the Meshuach Melchama. Tamal Omer, Behu. Who means that even the Kohen HaMashuach Melchama is included. Ketnai, Behu, Isha betulah Yikach. The who is a ribui that after the Kohanim, the Kohen HaMashuach Melchama is removed from having the ability to be makriv as an onen, I think he's totally out of the parsha now, and then everything that's subsequent with that does not apply to him. Well, comes the who, which is a ribui to say, no, he's included in this part of the parsha, which is that he must marry a betulah and not an almana. That's Rabbi Shmuel's limud. Rabbi Kiva Meir, in the Elo Shavar Machmat Kiryo, Machmat Mumin Minayin. I only know from the Parshat Kohen Gadol that it's someone who was removed, the Kohen Gadol who was removed because he had saw carry. It's a temporary problem. Temporary problem because he's Tamei, and therefore we need a replacement in the meantime. Machmat minim minayim. Someone who was removed from service because of a mum. That's something that's not going to go away. That's something that's going to remain for the duration. Tamalomer behu, that he's still subject to the rules of the Kohen Gadol, that even though he will not return to service, nevertheless, he still remains under those rules of the Kohen Gadol.
You don't see it from the word itself.
No, it's a riboy. The word behu is a riboy. Rav Shmuel uses the riboy to include the Meshuach Milchama. Rav Akiva uses the riboy to include a Kohen Gadol that was taken out of service because of a mum. And now he will not go back into service. Nevertheless, he's still required to, or subject to the rules of marrying a betula and that an amona. A kohen, a meshuach, the kohen gadol that got tzarat. What's his din? Balmano midchadochi o miftor patur. When it comes to an amona, what's the din of a kohen gadol? Is it that it's nidche? Or is it that it was niftar, or mutar? Truthfully, Rashi back on Ted Amud Aleph, on Shabbos' daf, reads the Gemara there. The Gemara there asks about a nasi, and the Gemara there also asks whether it was hutra or dechuya. Rashi gives two explanations of hutra and dechuya over here, or the midcheh miftar, and over here as well, he brings one of those two interpretations that it's not clear which one means hutra and which one means dechuya. It depends which way you're looking at it from. It depends if you're looking at it from the perspective of the Kohen Gadol himself, or are you looking at it from the tzad of the Isser itself. If you're looking from the Isser, you'd read it one way. If you're looking from the Kohen Gadol, you'd read it the opposite way. Either way, the question of the Gemara is, when it comes to the restriction of marrying an almana, is that while the Kohen Gadol is in service, then he cannot marry the almana, but once he's out of service, he can marry the almana. I mean, the Isur is an Isur that applies to the Kohen Gadol, and then is suspended once he's not in service anymore. Oh, Miftar Patur, meaning that it's an Isur that is on him forever. Once he's removed from the parsha of marrying an almana, he may never return to the parsha of marrying an almana. So is it a temporary Isur, or is it a permanent Isur? That's the basic question of the Gemara over here. Lo hava b'yode, he didn't know the answer. Zimnin, habayati rapapa, ba'ilei, malei hunu b'reid Rav Nachman, the rapapa. Hunu b'reid Rav Nachman said to rapapa, tanina, we have an abraiti, en li elo elo elo, Shavar Machmat Kiryo, Avar Mamakumin Minayin, the Limud of Rabbi Akiva, who says, how do I know that a Kohen Gadol that was put out of service because of a temporary problem? We know that. How about if he's put out permanently? Does he still have a din? Tamalomar Behu, Kam Nashke Bereshe, kissed him on his head, V'yayiv Le Brate, and he gave him his daughter. So the fact that Hunu Brader of Nachman was able to answer this question and brought in a brayta to answer the question, Rav Papa was enamored with that, and he was so excited that he kissed him on his head and he gave him his daughter in marriage. So the answer to the question is, Ein l'chamum gadol kazeh, like tzarat. And if we say by a mum that Rabbi Kiva's drasha is behu, means that he still has all the restrictions of kuna gadola on him, so too by a tzarat, the same thing will be true. So next mission, a kohen gadol purim milamata vehejot milamala. When it comes to kohen gadol, he rends his garments below, and the hejot does it above. Kohen gadol makriv onein, he brings his karbanot when he's still an onein, or he does all the service in the mikdash while he's an onein, it's kshera, which is not true of a kohen hejot. Velo uchel, and he does not participate in it. Vahejot, lo makriv lo uchel. Hejot's totally out of the parsha. If he's an onein, he cannot bring a karva, and it's chulin his karva, it doesn't work. And velo uchel, he's not allowed to eat in the karbanot when he's an onein. So Amar Rav, there's a machlok is now between Rav and Shmuel, what it means, lamata lamala. Rav Mar is lamata lamata mamash, lamala mala mamash. When we say that he rends his garments when it comes to avelut, that means a Kohen Gadol rips his garments down at the seam at the bottom. The bottom of the garment, that's where he rips it, and the Kohen Gadol rips it up at the collar, normal place where people who are in avelut, they do the ripping of their clothing. That's Rav's opinion. On the other hand, Shmuel says, lamata is lamata mikameh safa, lamala lamala mikameh safa. No, that lamala lamata is not the top and bottom of the garment, rather above the collar or below the collar. The hejot rips or rends the garment from the collar down. He rips it down from the top. Whereas the Kohen Gadol rips below the collar. He rips into the chaluk, but below the level of the collar. They both agree that it's bitzavar. It's up at the upper half of the beg, at the neck or the opening, where the neck opening is for the garment. That's where the rip is done. So now Gemara challenges Shmuel's position, Meitvei. When it comes to any of the people who are in a velut, who are required to tear kriya, they can tear kriya from the collar down, or they can tear below the collar. Either one is sufficient to be a kriya for a velut. But when it comes to aviv alimom of deal, he has to separate. He must rip even the collar. Came into Baal Ma'avi Kara that if in general this is considered to be a ripping of your garment, karigam gadav lo yifrom, then that would be excluded from the parsha of the Kohen Gadol. If you say that the Kohen Gadol lo yifrom, he may not rip, that means they may not rip or rend his garments like people normally do. But over here we just have this right that the normal way to rend your garments is either from the collar down or below the collar. So if before the collar is mutar as a kriya, then that should be a sword for the Kohen Gadol. So why do you Shmuel think that it's okay? So Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda Svirle. Shmuel says, I don't hold of that, right? I hold of Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Yehuda. Damar Kol, Keresh, Enu Madil, Safa Shalo, Enu Ela Keresh El Tiflut. Any tearing, rending of the garments that does not separate the collar, does not create a separation in the collar, is a worthless rip. It's a rip that has no meaning, no bearing, has no lachic implications. So that's Shmuel's view. Umi itle the Rabbi Yehuda kriya b'kohen gadol. Wait, if he's going to hold it, Rabbi Yehuda, says that a kohen gadol doesn't rip or rend his garments whatsoever. Va'atanyu ilu ne'mar rosh lo yifra ubeged lo yifrom. He said that he should not let his hair grow out and not rend his garment. Haitil mer b'rosh ubeged beged shel sota. It's referring to someone that the kohen interacts with. That means that the sota who he interacts with, they shouldn't let her hair grow out and have her begadim be from akatum medivert amalo et rosho and the possessive shalo yifra begadav lo yifrom sheinu bepriya uprima kol ikar de Rabbi Yehuda. He's not included in the parsha of priya and prima whatsoever. He doesn't grow his hair wild and he does not rend his garments whatsoever. He does not rend his garments like normal people do. Which is our Mishnah. Is basically our Mishnah. He disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda with regards to the fact that the Kohen Gadol does not rend his garment whatsoever. That he disagrees with. But he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to kriya, when it comes to tearing of the garment, that the only time it's considered kriya is when you actually rip the collar itself. Without ripping of the collar, that's not a kriya. And therefore, the Kohen Gadol who rips without ripping his collar has not done a kriya. That's, he hasn't violated the gadav lo yifrom. So it'll just be a siman, be an indication that he's avelut, but not a real kriya of avelut. So he's not in violation of the gadav lo yifrom. So now the next Mishnah lays out two principles, which are going to lead us through the end of the Masechta, which is kol hatadir mecheberu kudemet cheberu. Whichever is more frequent than another item, that goes first, which is basically the principle. Tadir v'sheino tadir kodem. V'chol mekudash mechaveru, kodem et chaveru. Whoever is more holy than his friend, he goes first. Paramashiach upareida. We have an option between bringing two karbanot before us, parachatat of the Kohen Mashiach, and the parachatat of Helam Davashel Tzibor, Param Davashel Tzibor. They're both of these parim in front of us. Then, paramashiach kodem, the pareida b'chol masav. The Par Mashiach goes first, and now the Par Yidah. Where do we know this from? Amar Bayit, Amar Kral, Pasuk says, Milvat Olat HaBoker, Asher Li Olat HaTamid. Besides the Olat HaBoker, which is the Olat HaTamid. So wait a minute. Why do we need, or here, if the Girsa is Lamali, then it would be, Milvat Olat HaBoker, Asher Li Olat HaTamid, Lamali. What do I need that extra statement for? Michdek Diva Olat HaBoker, Olat HaTamid, Lamali. Hachikama Rachmano, Kod Tira Kadma. That's what comes to teach you, that Milvad Olat HaBoker, Asher Lo Olat HaTamid tells you that's the Olat HaTamid, which is the Olat HaBoker. Since it's Tamid, it is the Olat HaBoker. It's always going to be the first Korban, because it's always Tadir. It's the most Tadir of all Korbanot. V'chol Mekudash Mechavero, Hu Kodem Et Chavero. Minolan, where do we know that? Detana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, V'Kidash To. When it comes to the Kohanim, you have to say V'Kidash To, you make them holy. V'Kidash To is the Chol Tavar Shibik Dusha. Anything is a Tavar Shibik Dusha, Liftoach Rishon. He is first. Ulubarech Rishon. And he makes the bracha first. Vilito Mane Yefeb Rishon. Not only does he get Liftoach Rishon as in Kriyat HaTorah, that he gets the first Aliyah. Ulubarech Rishon is by a Mizuman. He would be the one to do the Mizuman. And Lito Mane Yefeb Rishon is when you come to dividing up any foods, whether it's Kodshim or not, he gets the first choice. So that would be the reason that we give priority to the one who is more Kadosh. Okay, we'll stop over here.